Louise McSharry on 2FM.
We are celebrating LGBTQ plus pride this month on the show. And I mean, to be honest, all year round, but particularly this month on the show. And so every week we are talking about different aspects of queer culture and indeed things that impact the LGBTQ plus community. And there is no doubt that drag has... has been having a moment. No, it's just moved into the mainstream. RuPaul's Drag Race has certainly got more and more and more people into the art form. And we wanted to talk about how it's changed and how it's impacted life in Ireland for our incredible drag queens. I am now joined by Victoria's Secret, who has been dragging. How long have you been dragging, Victoria?
Oh my God, are you about to give away my big secret that I'm actually much older than I look? Because God knows, look at this fresh face. I'm almost, I think, 17 or 18 years. I'm going to go with 17 because it's less scary.
But of course, you were 11 when you started, so.
11 months. Yeah, 11 months.
So tell me a little bit about, because I mentioned there, obviously, that, you know, there has been a big change in terms of the recognition of drag over the last number of years, hasn't there?
I think so. But you know what? Ireland is one of those countries that we've always been fond of, like the arts, entertainment and the crack. And credit needs to be given to, like, Shirley Temple Bar was on TV over 20 years ago. Yeah. Bingo. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I know. I heard Shirley talking about this one time and I was like, yeah, it actually is kind of mind blowing that there was a drag queen on TV doing, you know, something that was for, I mean, literally for everyone, like not a niche program, you know, at a time when homophobia was still so rife in the country.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And not just that, I don't know if you remember this, but like RTÉ2 had a gay night, like again, about 20 years ago. And I remember being at home, like a teenager going, oh God, this is amazing. And watching it on the down low. I think it was like Shirley, Brendan Courtney, Panty, and they took over RTÉ2 for like a whole night. It was wild.
Wow. I don't remember that. That sounds brilliant.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
what you're saying is Ireland has actually been ahead of the curve when it comes to drag appreciation.
I think so. I mean, listen, look at the numbers that turn up at the George week in, week out. Mm. Like, and that's been like forever. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
People just love drag in this country. I think now we're seeing like more drag in more spaces. So they're occupying more spaces. Mm. But yeah, I just love the fact that my granny was watching Shirley call bingo 20 years ago.
100%. And can I ask, like, do you think that drag has diversified or changed as a result of it being kind of on TV so much?
I think with TV, and this is in all like art forms, there's a certain pressure to be glam. Do you know what I mean? Almost unattainably glam, yeah, which definitely comes with a price tag. So I think now that like we're seeing more drag, say on Netflix with RuPaul's Drag Race, like the price tags of those looks that the girls are pulling for that show is major. You're talking like some of them are spending $2,000 just on a dress. And like, so I think that it's kind of elevated the looks. But also, listen, once you're entertaining, people don't really care what you're wearing. Do you know that kind of way?
Yeah.
If you can entertain a crowd, be funny or be an amazing singer, they don't really care.
Yeah, yeah. You're so right, because I suppose we see that, you know, people who watched RuPaul's Drag Race, which I feel like is almost everyone at this stage. But you see the conversations on the show about the looks, and like we saw it in, I honestly couldn't even tell you, there's been so many series recently. I think it was the regular RuPaul's Drag Race. I don't think it was like UK or All Stars or anything, where the whole I don't want to see any effing H&M moment happened, where a drag queen was wearing something from H&M. Oh, it was the UK one. Was a drag queen was wearing something from H&M and RuPaul like went mental. You know, there is like a kind of a real standard there, but of course that's kind of not fair, because not everyone has access to, I mean, if you're talking about thousands of dollars or euro or pounds or whatever per look, not everyone has access to that money.
No, not at all. Okay, so that was Joe Black. And actually the fun part about that is H&M booked him for a campaign this week. So
did they?
I just love that full circle moment. I think, yeah, and you know, also there's another thing, like in terms of like everyone's got different types of bodies and different heights, and like some people can access clothing a lot easier than others, and that's another conversation on top of that. Do you know what I mean? Because I mean, like, listen, you know, I'm not getting a hidden zipper from Penny's up on my back. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, me neither, whereas, babes.
Do you know what I mean? Like, some of the girls can rock a Penny's look and make it look absolutely amazing, yeah, and upstyle it and do all sorts of things. But yeah, it's just, you know, different bodies and all that.
Yeah. And can I ask, what brought you to drag in the first place?
So I went to IADT. For anyone that doesn't know, it's like an art and business college out in Dunleary. And I thought that coming out was going to be such a major moment for me, but I was in like basically an art college. So I came out and nobody cared, like literally nobody cared. And I kind of credit drag in a weird way that I was almost trying to rebel a little bit more and be like, okay, well, you didn't care that I was gay, but how about now I'm a drag queen walking around art college. And again, like Louise, people were in like the college break area, like doing fire poi. Do you know what I mean? So I just did not stand out in that way either. They just didn't care, which was amazing. And I actually think that college was like the making of me. I was just like, there was just so many amazing characters that it like helped me come out of myself in so many ways.
Yeah. But so obviously, even though it didn't get you maybe the big moment that you wanted, you liked it and you kept going.
Absolutely. And it was for fun. I always think of like drag as an apprenticeship. Like, you don't just walk into something and become a plumber tomorrow. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, there's so many different skills. Like, you just didn't show up in 2FM and go, right, I'm doing the radio show today. No. Like, we all have to like pick up these skills along the way. So I did it when a lot of people started drag, and it was literally because it was so much fun. You got to like go out, be crazy on stage, have fun with the girls. I think now, because people are seeing those career options in it, like, people come to the game and they're so serious. Do you know what I mean? And I kind of feel they're missing out, you know, that kind of way. Like, I'm some of them mad. Like, it doesn't matter that you don't look amazing as long as you're having like some good crack along the way.
And is it, I mean, we have to address the fact that obviously you haven't been able to perform the way that you would have liked to and the way that we would have liked to have seen you over the last 18 months. But is it, you know, your full time job?
Mm-hmm, it is. So, well, firstly, I'm not gonna argue with like virtual drag, because I have not worn a bra or a high heel or a corset in a year and a half. And I've mostly just gotten dressed from like shoulders up. And like, for a drag queen, I have never been so comfortable. Like, most of my gigs, I'm doing like virtual gigs for different companies, and I'm in slippers half the time. Like, slippers and drag, it's amazing. But I mean, you got to go to one, and it was it's a wild time, and people adapt so quickly. That's the strange thing too.
Yeah. And are you missing it though? Are you missing kind of the live crowd?
Yeah, I am, but I'm also nervous about it, because I feel like we've been in this position for like so long, and you're almost kind of starting to think, oh God, like, am I going to be able to go back out and do what I did? Like, I barely have gone for a walk to spar, let alone, you know, exercise over the last year. So there's little things like that. But, you know, when you finish performing and you're on a Zoom, you can't hear people applaud. And it kind of puts a little question mark in the back of your head going, oh God, was that good? Because you know, instant feedback. Yeah. So I'm missing the feedback and the connection with the audience. Mm-hmm. And I'm missing just that feeling of being in a club. Like, it's unlike anything else.
What song will be the first song you perform when you go back?
I mean, I do this mix from Naked Attraction, which is definitely not for a family audience, so I won't go into it too much. But you know that TV show, and I'm dying to do that and do a very awkward striptease on stage. But yeah, probably that.
Can I ask, as you mentioned there, obviously there is pain involved in the job that you do, and the heels and the corsets and all the rest. Like, I about 10 years ago, I was like, I never want to wear high heels again. And I gave all my heels away because they are excruciating. And unless you're Mariah Carey and your feet are like Barbie feet. Do you have any tips for wearing uncomfortable things for lengths of time?
I mean, listen, my feet, firstly, Irish feet in general are not the prettiest. I'm just going to put that out there. We were not blessed.
Xenophobia. Gorgeous...
And I think wearing high heels for close to 2 decades, it made my feet even worse. But in terms of tips, no, unfortunately, there really isn't. Tequila might be my best tip. Do you know what I mean? Just drink through the pain with a shot of tequila. No salt, no lime. Just straight tequila.
I'm always like wishing and fantasizing, because I love the like the appearance of heels, obviously stunning, but I'm always wishing for like someone to give me a magic trick or something that will like, I feel like injections maybe of like numbing, some kind of numbing agent into the foot. Like, some famous people have got to be doing that, haven't they?
For sure. I just think as well, like some people say they don't struggle with them and there's no pain at all and they wear them all day. And I'm like, how? Like my feet are like this by the end of the night. Do you know what I mean? Claws, like claws hanging on for dear life.
Well, I truly admire your commitment. Can I ask you, because, you know, we are talking, it is Pride Month and, you know, that's one of the reasons that we're talking to you today. And it's been a bit of a rough week in terms of, I suppose, the gay community in Ireland. We've seen a few kind of overt examples of homophobia. I think a lot of people think that homophobia is like gone and it's not really a thing anymore. What's your take on that?
Oh, I mean, like, listen, just reading the news this week has been really tough because we're coming into our second virtual year of Pride. And, you know, it's so important that Pride is visible because there's people seeing those stories at the moment of what's happening in Waterford and the graffiti on the side of Panty Bar who are not out. And that's almost making it even more scary for them. So like something like Pride, where we see so many people who are just like them walking down the street, being so proud, is so major because it sends a message right across Ireland, and not just like across Ireland, but across the world and countries that are really struggling. There's people that are like going through it. So I think it's tough. I'm so glad that we're doing things like this today, because the more space for conversation and education is the only way that we're going to improve things like that. But I can't imagine what it's like to be gay in Waterford right now and just feeling, you know,
yeah. What would you say to someone? Because obviously you had a disappointingly positive experience of coming out. but what would you say to someone if they are in Waterford or anywhere in the country and they're thinking, you know, I'd love to try drag or I'd love to, you know, come out even and just say who I am, but they feel kind of paralyzed for whatever reason? What advice would you give to them?
I think the most important thing that we can all do is try and make ourselves happy. And whatever that takes to get there, that's what you're concentrating on. And if you're currently feeling that you are like suppressed and you can't come out, then I would encourage you to make steps towards getting to a happier place, whatever that may be, even if they're baby steps. It's so daunting. I remember being so afraid of saying just those words, I am gay. Terrified of those words. And then once it kind of was out there, I was like, oh my God, it was such a release. I was just like lighter in walking around the place. So I mean, it's daunting, but it's a really good move, and I think everyone will be a lot happier for it.
I know that you know, it seems certainly from the outside that the gay community is very supportive, and that, you know, and that the drag community in Ireland is very supportive. You guys all seem to be great pals and really look out for each other. You can tell me if I'm wrong. am I wrong? Is it all bitching behind the scenes?
No, do you know what? Like, it's such a small little community within a community, and that's where I've learned everything, if that makes sense. Like sitting in the dressing room next to Davina, Dolly, Shirley, Veda is how I learned how to be a drag queen. Yeah. Watching them be MCs, watching them getting ready, watching them perform, like they were, like that's where I did my apprenticeship, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And I can never like repay them enough for that, you know, that kind of way. It is a sisterhood, and it's also a crazy sisterhood. We're all mental. Do you know what I mean? Like, if people only knew what happened in the dressing room, like the mad conversations. I mean, gas.
How do you get into that dressing room? Like, how do you start?
As in, how do you get into drag?
Yeah, like if someone's like, I want to be in that dressing room, I want to learn from Victoria, I want that apprenticeship.
Right. Yeah. I think, you know what, like, firstly, anyone that wants to get into drag, I would just encourage you to go to some drag shows in Dublin, see what's happening, and then like get chatting to the queens. If people want to get into drag, there's always space for someone who's coming along that wants to try out and do a number. It's so daunting. I remember rattling.
Oh my God. I would be terrified. Yeah, terrified.
Yeah. Do you still get nerves, by the way?
For this?
Yeah.
No. No, I don't. Okay. I don't. Do you know, I was on the Late Late Show a long time ago, I think about 15, no, yeah, definitely easily 15 years ago. And I was in the audience, you know, the way sometimes in the audience, they go to a few people in the audience. I was one of those people and I was really nervous. And I remember I kind of gave myself a talking to and I was like, if you are going to do the job that you want to do, if you want to do radio and you're going to have to be on TV sometimes, you cannot be nervous. You've got to just put that aside. And I wasn't nervous anymore. It was weird. Like, I went from shaking to just not. It was like I made a decision that nerves could not be part of it if I wanted to be my best. And I think nerves are good, and like there's no problem with being nervous. But it's I literally had a moment of like, no. I still sometimes would feel a little bit jittery. Like if I've been off air for a long time and I come back, I'd be like, oh, I don't know, do I remember how to do this? But once I get started, I'm fine. And I bet you're the same. Like once you're doing it, it's gone.
Yeah, I'm the same. Weirdly, the bigger the crowd, the less the nerves. The smaller the crowd, sometimes I get a little nervous, still looking away.
I totally get that. Yeah. I totally get it. Well, look, I have so enjoyed chatting to you. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing a little bit of your world and some advice as well for people. I hope there are loads of young and old drag queens. I feel like it's never too late to start, who might be knocking on your door or indeed sending you a message on Instagram. So where can people find you, Victoria?
Sure. Yeah. Well, firstly, Victoria's Secret is a choice that I made nearly two decades ago, not thinking that I'm ungoogleable for life. I am on Instagram at Victoria's Secret Dublin, or you can check out Mine and Davina's podcast, which is Petty Little Things, every second Thursday, which is always a wild
time. Sorry, I think I said Pretty Little Things. Petty Little Things, of course, which is a much better name. Thank you so much, Victoria's Secret. Have a great one.
Louise McSherry on 2FM.